chair and said, "Oh my God, this is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. I'm..."
What? On Saturday, June 17th, 2017, the president called McGahn and told him to have the special counsel removed. That evening, McGahn called both Priebus and Bannon and told them that he intended to resign. Priebus recalled that McGahn said that the president had asked him to, quote, do crazy...
Did the president refuse the request to be interviewed by you and your team?
Yes.
Yes. And is it true that you tried for more than a year to secure an interview with the president?
Yes.
But the president still refused to sit for an interview by you or your team?
True. True.
I would have loved to sit for an interview, but I came down with a tragic case of mouth spurs.
I have been in this business for almost 25 years. And in those 25 years, I have not had occasion once to ask somebody about their political affiliation. It is not done. What I care about is the capability of the individual to do the job and do the job quickly and seriously and with integrity.
When Donald Trump called your investigation a witch hunt, that was also false, was it not?
I'd like to think so, yes.
Well, your investigation is not a witch hunt, is it?
It is not a witch hunt.
Not a witch hunt. Oh, and I'm being told we have some footage of the president's response.
I'm melting! Melting!
Trump almost certainly was watching the hearings because before they even started, he predictably lost his mind on Twitter. Again, all of these are just from this morning.
So Democrats and others can illegally fabricate a crime, try pinning it on a very innocent president, and when he fights back against this illegal, treasonous attack on our country, they call it obstruction. Wrong. Why didn't Robert Mueller investigate the investigators?
Why didn't Robert Mueller and his band of 18 angry Democrats spend any time investigating crooked Hillary Clinton, lying and leaking James Comey, Lisa Page and her psycho lover, Peter Strzok, Andy McCabe, the beautiful Orr family, Fusion GPS, and many more, including himself and Andrew W. So why didn't the highly conflicted Robert Mueller investigate how and why crooked Hillary Clinton deleted and acid washed 33,000 emails immediately after getting a subpoena from the United States Congress? She must have great lawyers.
No collusion, no obstruction.
The greatest witch hunt in U.S. history by far.
Dear God, his tweets would make more sense if they were scribbled on paper and faxed to a newspaper under the Zodiac symbol.
Mueller had no material to work with, and he did a horrible job.
He had no material except for the hoax report, which completely exonerates me, based on a total witch hunt, which found no collusion. Witch hoax.
This was one of the worst performances in the history of our country.
Were you ever fired, Mr. Mueller?
Aha! What a brilliant legal strategy. Your Honor, there's been a lot of talk in this courtroom today about attempted murder. But I asked the victim, have you ever been murdered? No, the defense rests.
Russia interfered in the election to help Trump. Trump welcomed and encouraged that help. And then he almost certainly committed crimes to obstruct the investigation of that help. But Trump has repeatedly insisted falsely without offering any details that Article 2 of the Constitution, which is about the executive branch, gives him the power to fire Mueller and do whatever he wants. He's repeated that argument over and over, including during a rambling speech yesterday.
Article 2 allows me to do whatever I want. Article 2 would have allowed me to fire him.
Nobody ever mentions Article 2. It gives me all of these rights at a level that nobody has ever seen before. We don't even talk about Article 2.
Then I have an Article 2 where I have the right to do whatever I want as president, but I don't even talk about that.
First, I have an Article 2 is such a New York way of saying it. It's not jaywalking when I do it because I got an Article 2 right here, buddy. Stop your honking. Also, I like how he says, I don't talk about that, even though he constantly talks about that. He's like a grandparent who won't stop talking about how you won't call. I never hear from you, not a phone call, not an email, not even a card. But still, I don't complain. Also, Article 2 does not give you the right to do whatever you want.
The president very clearly obstructed the investigation of his campaign ties to Russia. And think about that. FBI is looking into evidence that the Russians got involved in our presidential election, and our president personally tried to stop that investigation. He tried to fire the guy running the investigation. His own White House lawyer, Don McGahn, testified to that. The only reason that didn't happen is the only reason he didn't fire the special counsel is because Don McGahn refused to do it. He said he was being asked by the president to do crazy Those were his words. And on top of that, the president, both personally and through his people, tried to tamper with witnesses and lied about it. He did these things. He welcomed Russian interference in our election and tried to get the people who knew about it to shut up. And our Republican representatives in Congress, they know he did. They know the president of the United States tried to stop this investigation. They just don't care. All they care about is how they'll be received on Fox News.
Republicans and President Trump are declaring victory and calling on Congress to move on. But House Democrats are trying to figure out where to go from here.
Welcome to CBS Sports. I'm Larry Boberry.
And I'm Gary Nananatofoferry.
Well, the Mueller Bowl just ended, and it was a total victory for Team Trump.
Actually, Larry, referee Mueller was clear, not a total victory.
What does the ref know? He did not look good out there. Point is, the game is officially over.
No, it's not over. Coach Trump could still be arrested postseason.
The whole thing's a witch punt.
I don't think so. Coach Trump attempted to fire the ref at least 10 times.
But in the end, he was still the ref. No harm, no foul. Next thing you know, they'll say it's a crime to attempt murder.
Attempted murder is a crime.
News to me. For all of us at CBS Sports,
boom goes the democracy.
Turn your page to a brief demonstration. It's now in 90. It's strictly information I'm giving. Teaching on a regular basis. Today's lecture is about the races. We're not out to exaggerate or diss them, but show the symptoms and facts of racism. Understand, the races ain't equal. There's about five different types of racist people. First of the five different types of cases is the individual brought up racist. Here you have young men and women brought up in the great white way opinion. This opinion introduced by the parent to the civilized becomes transparent. A civilized man could look through the faces, make the analysis and see the races. Number two case, which all must hear, is the individual racist out of fear. Here you have people that fear the African and conjure up new ways of trapping them. Number three is the unconscious racist. Not knowing they're racist, they invade your spaces. They say, I'm not a racist, I'm not a bigot. Yet they allow it to go on and won't admit it. Number four is the money racist. The one that used the topics of sheer economics. They say, owning a business isn't for the black man. He don't want that, yet they went and took his land. Damn. That's like a rock in a hard place. You don't have your land yet. This ain't your space. America was built by every other race except the European. It runs this place. What a waste. America's doomed to be overthrown by the righteous real soon. But last but not least, racial prejudice is the black man speaking out of ignorance. Whitey this and Ching Chow that. It's not how the intelligent man acts. You can't blame the whole white race for slavery, because this ain't the case. A large sum of white people died with blacks, trying hard to fight racial attacks. The media wants you to think that no whites really fought and died for civil rights. But once we have a true sense of history, you'll see this too is a mystery. If black and white didn't argue the most, they can clearly see the government screwing them both.
This week on the Discovery Channel, we examine the world's greatest predator, the great white nationalist. No person of color is safe. No city is safe. No Twitter feed is safe. It's Great White Nationalist Week.
first, we chummed the area with cheeseburgers to lure the beast. There he is. Look at those lifeless eyes. Mindless eating machine. Thin-skinned, lashing out at the slightest criticism. And here comes the diver in the racist-proof cage.
If they're not happy here, they can leave.
It's getting too dangerous. He's going on the attack. Get him out of there. Get him out.
Great White Nationalist Week, only on the Discovery Channel.
Is Donald Trump racist? Episode 3, million. Previously on Is Donald Trump Racist? Yes. But some people still aren't convinced. Not even after his Twitter attack this weekend on Chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Elijah Cummings. Cummings recently criticized the conditions at the Mexico border, so Trump took offense, tweeting, "Rep Elijah Cummings has been a brutal bully, shouting and screaming at the great men and women of Border Patrol about conditions at the southern border, when actually his Baltimore district is far worse and more dangerous. His district is considered the worst in the USA, .. As proven last week during a congressional tour, the border is clean and efficient, well-run, just very crowded. Cumming District is a disgusting rat and rodent-infested mess. If he spent more time in Baltimore, maybe he could help clean up this very dangerous and filthy place."
I smell a rat. Oh, I think I smell a rat.
Speaking of rodents, the president is on the attack, yes, yet again. Lashing out at yet another coincidentally non-white member of Congress, Elijah Cummings, chairman of the House Oversight Committee. Trump tweeted more than a dozen times about Cummings over the weekend, including this two-parter. "Rep Elijah Cummings has been a brutal bully, shouting and screaming at the great men and women of Border Patrol about conditions at the southern border, when actually his Baltimore district is far worse and more dangerous. His district is considered the worst in the USA. Cumming District is a disgusting rat and rodent-infested mess. If he spent more time in Baltimore, maybe he could help clean up this very dangerous and filthy place." I assume he's talking about the White House, right? What a thing to say about a city in America. The man who tells us love it or leave it has now attacked more cities than Godzilla. And
God bless America, except Baltimore. They got rats there, no MAGA hats there. I avoid it because they are poor.
Trump, of course, says there's nothing racist about his tweet. He says the real racist is Elijah Cummings. That's how it goes. Whenever you call him, he calls you back. Racist? You're a racist. I colluded? You colluded. This must be fun for his doctors. I'm obese? You're obese. I need to start watching what you eat. Needless to say, people from Baltimore are very upset. The Baltimore Sun had their editorial board said, "Better to have a few rats than to be one." And this is not the first time Donald Trump has been very negative about Baltimore. He did this in 2015, too. He tweeted about Baltimore. I have a theory as to why he does this. Trump's opinion of Baltimore, I think, is 100% based on the show The Wire.
I gotta ask you, if every time Snot Boogie would grab the money and run away, why'd you even let him in the game?
What?
If Snot Boogie always stole the money, why'd you let him play?
Got to. This America, man.
Think about it. What do all white men over the age of 50 have? A shelf full of DVDs. I have one, and on every one of those shelves of DVDs is the box set of The Wire. I guarantee you Eric or Don Jr. bought him that set for Christmas. He assumed it was a documentary and watched it and went, "Oh, my God."
Y'all can't be playing no checkers or no chessboard,
all right.
Yo.
All right, man.
So how do you get to be the king?
It ain't like that. See, the king, stay the king, all right? Everything stay who he is.
So if I make it to the other end, I win.
Nah, yo, it ain't like that. Look, the pawns, man, in the game, they get capped quick.
The question now is, how do you get him to stop saying horrible things about Baltimore? And the answer is, show him the musical about the stuff he starts every morning with, Hairspray, okay? You can watch that and sing Good Morning Baltimore every day as he empties a can of Aquanet onto his cotton candy head.
Come on, man, man, you're killing me, killing
me. Stop. Lake Wobegon. It's been perfect tomato weather out there. These wonderful, hot, humid days and then rain at night, thunderstorms.
It's a Philly station.
Off in the distance.
How would anybody ever want to leave Baltimore? That's what I'm asking.
You say it has zero to do with race. There is a clear pattern here, Mick. The president tweeted about John Lewis, a black congressman, that he should, and this is before his inauguration, he should spend time in his crime-infested district. Then, 2 weeks ago, he goes after these four members of the squad, all women of color, and says they should go back to the crime-infested countries from which they come. Then he talks about Elijah Cummings, and he says his district is rat and rodent infested. Infested. It sounds like vermin. It sounds subhuman. And these are all six members of Congress who are people of color.
I think you're spending way too much time reading between the lines.
I'm reading between the lines.
Does anyone watching this program dispute the fact that, or the possibility that if Adam Schiff had said the same thing about the border, that the president would be attacking Adam Schiff in the exact same way today?
And I don't think he'd be talking about his crime-infested, rodent-infested district.
He very well could. It has zero to do with the fact that Adam is Jewish.
Wow. Pro tip, if you're trying to distance yourself from accusations of being a white supremacist, maybe don't use the excuse, Donald Trump's not racist. He'd say the same thing about Jews.
As multiple people have pointed out, this language is part of a pattern, right? President Trump always uses the word infestation when talking about people of color. Almost always uses it. He said illegal immigrants are infesting America. He said Congressman John Lewis's Atlanta district is crime-infested. And that the squad must go back to their crime-infested countries. Like, you don't need to be a genius to see what Trump is implying, because he's not a subtle person. Many people say Trump's words are clearly racist, but Trump says it's the black people who are the true racists, because they keep bringing up race every time someone says something racist.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
A man's an empty kettle, he should be on his mettle, and yet I'm torn apart. Just because I'm presuming that I could be kinda human if I only had a heart. I'd be tender, I'd be gentle, and awful sentimental regarding love and art. I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boy who shoots the arrows if I only had a heart. Picture me a balcony above a voice sings low.
Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
I hear a beat. How sweet, just to register emotion, jealousy, devotion, and really feel the part. I could stay young and chipper, and I'd lock it with a zipper, if I only had a heart.
that was from the soundtrack to The Wizard of Oz. It turns out two local troubadours have other views about hearts. Here's Catskill's Brian DeWan with The Human Heart, and The Magnetic Fields with I Think I Need a New Heart.
In our day-to-day experience, it has always been conceived in the operating theater. It now may be revealed. I saw the glistening human heart lying in repose, so tender and so vulnerable, beating and exposed. The human heart is a lustrous thing, a wondrous thing, the human heart. Look at the patient lying open wide. It cannot hide the human heart. It has a passionate temperament, as everybody knows, gushing grandiose sentiments as a toilet overflows, throwing violent tantrums and prone to fits of rage. It can't keep still, it rolls around in its rib cage. The human heart is a preposterous thing, a monstrous thing, the human heart. Enlisting sympathy with vulgar sobs, it pounds and throbs, the human heart. And yet it lives for love and duty at its own behest, a lifetime through of work to do with ne'er a moment's rest, sustaining vital organs, anointing them with blood, devouting its vocation, a vital organ hoard. The human heart is an untiring thing, an inspiring thing, the human heart. Despite the heartaches of the rolling years, it perseveres, the human heart. What strange abomination holds fancy over fact? What Byzantine mutation would love what can't love back? What kind of freak of nature forgives a heinous crime and leads us towards as yet untraveled paths to the sublime? The human heart is an inscrutable thing, an immutable thing, the human heart. The human heart is an untiring thing, an inspiring thing, a preposterous thing, a monstrous thing, a lustrous thing, a wondrous thing, the human heart.
still. All I can feel is the time standing still as you put down the keys and say, don't call me, please. While the radio plays, I think I need a new heart. Oh, I think I need a new heart. Oh. You've lied to. Unless I put it in a song, so the radio plays. I think I need a new heart. Just for you, I think I need a new heart. Cause I always say I love you when I mean turn out the light. And I say let's run away when I just mean stay the night. But the words you want to hear, you will never hear from me. I'll never say happy anniversary. Never stay to say happy anniversary. So I think I need a new heart. Oh, I think I need a new heart.
Here's transmission art from Vladimir Ushevsky with Wireless Fantasy.
Hi, this is Chris France of Talking Heads, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, Accra.
Come on down to the annual Hudson Black Arts and Cultural Festival from August 9th to 11th. The festival includes a parade, talent show, games, back-to-school giveaway, and more, thanks to Operation Unite.
The event will be held on Saturday, August 9th from 2 to 8 p.m. The parade begins at the 7th Street Park and ends at the Hudson Waterfront.
At 5 p.m. on Sunday, the Gospel Festival and Sunset Service take place. Everyone is invited to come out to embrace the diversity of the Hudson Valley.
For more info, call Operation Unite at 518-828-3612.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cindy Miller and Matt Lenung of Albany, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
To reach clean energy goals, New York needs to maintain its existing baseline of renewable energy generators. That's the message clean energy advocates have sent to Governor Andrew Cuomo. The New York Renewables Protection Act is headed to the governor's desk. Supporters say the bill, which already has cleared the Assembly and Senate, would help save the jobs those power resources have created and encourage generators to sell their renewable energy credits in New York rather than out of state. According to Zach Dufresne with the Alliance for Clean Energy New York, it would help the state achieve its goal of 70% renewable energy by 2030 at the lowest possible cost to ratepayers.
Meeting this 2030 target will require an all-hands-on-deck effort, and that will require a massive build-out of renewables. But New York is not starting from scratch on its way to 70%.
Current law doesn't allow existing generators to participate in state renewable energy procurements, leading some suppliers to sell their clean energy to out-of-state customers. Dufresne says ACE New York commissioned a study of the policy options to retain existing resources.
New York could save about $135 million between 2019 and 2030 at present value by establishing a program to keep existing generators in operation and to keep them selling their renewable energy attributes in New York State.
He adds that existing renewable energy resources, including hydroelectric power, currently supply more than 25% of the state's electricity and support 22,000 jobs. Dufresne notes that the state has been talking for several years about creating a program to support existing renewable energy resources, but nothing has been established.
That's why we want to bring attention to this and make sure the governor knows that this is a low-cost, low-overhead way for his departments to achieve our new ambitious goals.
Once the bill has been sent to the governor's desk, he will have 10 days to sign it. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
Environmentalists risk their lives to save the planet. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. 1 year ago, on July 31st, 2018, just after leaving home in the Ukrainian city of Kherson, Deputy Mayor Katerina Gandziuk felt a splash of liquid across her head and face. An assailant had thrown a full liter of sulfuric acid at her, leaving her near death with burns across half her body. In the months leading up to the attack, she had accused several local politicians of illegal logging in the nearby Oleshky Forest. She spent several painful months in the hospital, finally dying of her wounds November 4th. After protests and international pressure, several suspects were arrested, but Gandziuk's family and supporters allege a cover-up to protect the organizers of the assault that rises to the highest levels of the Ukrainian political elite. Katerina Gandziuk's brutal attack is just one of 164 murders of environmentalists and land and water defenders that occurred in 2018, cataloged in a new report titled Enemies of the State: How Governments and Business Silence Land and Environmental Defenders, published by Global Witness, an international nonprofit group that works to protect human rights and the environment by confronting corruption. The report notes the real figure is likely to be much higher because cases are often not recorded and very rarely investigated. The report is global in scale. Among the most dangerous places for land defenders in 2018 were the Philippines, Guatemala, and Brazil. The pace of violence in Brazil has only accelerated since the right-wing climate change-denying extremist Jair Bolsonaro assumed the presidency last January.
Jair Bolsonaro was elected promising. It's an anti-environmental campaign. Now he's delivering, unfortunately.
That's Carlos Retil, executive secretary of Climate Observatory, a network of Brazilian civil society groups, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
The department responsible to combat deforestation, the Minister of Environment, was shut down.
Since Bolsonaro took office, the rate of destruction of the Amazon rainforest has increased by almost 40%. Known as the lungs of the planet, the rainforest plays a vital role in regulating the world's climate. In May, eight former Brazilian environment ministers warned we're facing the risk of runaway deforestation in the Amazon. As one put it, Brazil is becoming an exterminator of the future. In late July, Amira Wayapi, a leader of the indigenous Wayapi tribe in the Amazon, was murdered by a group of 10 to 15 armed men who were part of an illegal mining operation. The United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, the former president of Chile, called his murder tragic and reprehensible in its own right. She said it's also a disturbing symptom of the growing problem of encroachment on indigenous land, especially forests, by miners, loggers, and farmers in Brazil. Another country where Global Witness reports numerous murders of activists is Colombia. A 50-year civil war between the Colombian government and leftist FARC rebel army was settled in 2016 with an historic peace agreement. However, since the FARC laid down arms and its members rejoined Colombian civil society, over 500 social and community leaders have been assassinated. Many blame the right-wing administration of President Iván Duque for failing to implement key provisions of the peace agreement.
People are being killed because they are demanding their basic rights, and particularly the rights to access to land and to be free in their territories.
Luis Gilberto Murillo, the former governor of the predominantly Afro-Colombian state of El Choco and former minister of Environment and Sustainable Development, said on the Democracy Now! NewsHour,
the way to avoid these killings to happen is the full implementation of the peace process, because the peace process has some provision to protect social leaders. For example, there is a national commission to guarantee the protection of social leaders in the country, and that commission has been not convened regularly by the current government.
A shocking video surfaced recently showing the aftermath of the murder of renowned community activist Maria del Pilar Hurtado in Colombia, with her young son wailing next to her corpse. That video prompted a day of protest, with thousands gathering in Bogota, Colombia's capital city, and at solidarity rallies around the world. Luis Gilberto Murillo was among those who protested in front of the Washington, D.C. residence of the Colombian ambassador to the United States. Frontline land and water defenders are doing all they can, risking their freedom, their very lives, to save the planet. It's the least we can do in the United States, the most powerful country on Earth, to demand a world where people engaging in this vital, life-saving work can do so free from persecution, harm, or even death. This epic struggle to avoid climate catastrophe must heat up faster than the planet itself. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
Good morning and welcome to the Better Weather. UV exposure is down and pollen levels are up. Temperatures start at 68 degrees today and will climb to 82 around 2 p.m. That heat will linger until around 8 and then start to drop. Around 10 o'clock, temperatures will reach room temperature levels. However, it will still be muggy. Through the day, possible thunder-producing cells will be moving through the region. Who's going to get hit is anyone's guess. Start taking bets now. Tomorrow starts cool in the lower 60s, will be dry, and make it to the low 80s by noon. It will be time to do the outside chores you put off today. Looking way up, we see the solar wind strengthening as the coronal hole escapee begins beating on our planet's magnetic field. Current solar wind is 368 kilometers per second at 4 protons per milliliter. This has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
Catskill Makers Syndicate debuted their new radio show, Thingularity. It'll be on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m., 90.7 FM. Here's an excerpt of their show live from their West Bridge Street location in Catskill.
Ram, a compendium of critically creative comrades collaborating colloquially to create truth characters, quirky contraptions, and cranial conflagrations across the county. And now, Serious Science by Total Goofball.
What do I have? Well, let's see.
Are we still talking about projects?
Other projects. Okay. Somebody else could get on that. What else are we supposed to be working on now?
We're supposed to be working on the bridge project for the Black Bridge located in Catskill. We were approached by the Catskill Horticultural Club for a project that would...
Cultivate Catskill. They're going to be real mad if you misnamed it.
Sorry. Yeah. Cultivate Catskill. I mean, no disrespect. I am merely ignorant. It is Cultivate Catskill that approached us and would like us to figure out a way to water plants that would be suspended from the Black Bridge. After several rounds of debate, we have come up with probably one really good design and several crappy ones. The good design has been pitched and wheels are in motion. We're hoping to get some prototypes going this year. If so, we might be doing that for some rudimentary watering of the Bridge Street Bridge flowers. Otherwise, that project's probably going to be revealed next year, and once it's done, trust me, everybody listening will be a little bit surprised. It'll be nice. Without going into too much detail, that way we're not confined to any specific idea.
But you guys said this and that!
We promise you water. That is all we promise.
But this is Catskill, I'm sure, about 8 or 9 people will be really mad and really vocal about it.
Because they hate water.
No, that's just the Schadenfreude. It's the hobo. We know about the hobo blood.
Not this again.
The hobo blood. Does that angry up quicker?
It's just like there's hobo blood in the ground here from 100 or so years ago, and it just makes people mad sometimes.
Does it leach into the food, and it is consumed by everyone, and it rots away their brain? I don't get it.
It's just the spirit of the hobo. He wanders up and down the creek at night.
The spirit of the hobo.
Searching for the descendants of those who...
Bestowed to us through the ages from Rip Van Winkle himself.
Yeah. We're not sure...
The original hobo.
He was after that. I don't know if he passed away in the creek, and his blood came down the north and south branch of Spring Street, or whether he was buried in a wall in the basement of the jail. We are not sure about the details. But there is a ghost hobo that wanders up and down the creek of Catskill. And his spirit just makes people angry and full of Schadenfreude here once in a while. So, 7 people mad. I would do it at the bridge, but everyone else would be happy.
This dark specter that he speaks of is not an actual apparition, but merely a concept, just to be clear.
Please don't go down to the creek and looking for a hobo.
You will not find one, and if you do, it will not be a ghost. Run.
And you'll probably see him more likely hanging down at, Prize Chopper, late at night. So.
Thank you.
Here's transmission art from Vladimir Ushevsky with Wireless Fantasy.
Universal time. Yes. Yeah.